Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. Today we're discussing operating multifamily assets during a global pandemic, a look to 2021. I have joining me in the studio two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Cody Stepanski and Janice Quigley, who are both regional managers with American Landmark. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Good morning.
So, it's kind of a daunting topic that we're going to discuss. Full transparency. Over the last 8 months of doing this weekly one-hour show, almost all the topics have touched in some way on the pandemic, because it's what's relevant right now when it comes to multifamily. But I want to kind of dig in on what are the challenges of operating a property that would be different from, you know, prior to the pandemic, and hopefully after the pandemic, when we go back to the way it was, with no worries about this COVID-19 situation. So let's first take a look at 2020, the year when all this started to happen. How did it all start, as far as when you were on your with your properties, your assets, with your teams? How did it all start for you? Do you recall? And I'll open that up to Janice.
You know, I think we were just there one day, and all of a sudden we got some information that, hey, there's some serious things going on in our country right now, which is obviously the COVID-19 pandemic. Mm-hmm. Our leadership group, you know, as a group and entity, looked into how we could still keep our doors open and make sure that our residents, our associates, and everybody maintained safe. We shortened our hours a little bit from 10 to 4 for several months. My particular properties, we did not close our doors at all. We were very fortunate. We were also very fortunate that on the team that I oversee right now, nobody was impacted by COVID. No family members, so we did not have to shut our doors down. They reached out to many, many global vendors, made sure that we had all PPE equipment that we needed, masks, the spray guns to make sure that anything was sanitized prior to move-ins, move-outs. They provided us with seals to make sure that as residents moved in, that they knew that their apartments had been not only properly turned, but sanitized prior to, and that nobody entered the apartment homes until it was time for their move-in day. Cody, what about you?
Well, for me, it was a little bit different because I wasn't with American Landmark in March when this all first hit. And I came with them in July. But so in March, when this all started for me, I actually had properties in Maryland and Austin that I was not able to travel to, obviously.
Sure.
So that's where the difficulty really set in, is that you were very much apart from your teams. So you weren't able to see them like you were used to seeing them. Everything was communicated, you know, through the technology, getting on your Zoom calls, things like that. And it was just a very different feeling, where you couldn't really give that support that you were used to by being in front of them and saying everything's going to be okay. I mean, you were having to look at each other through a screen, and yeah, it really took the personal touch out of things, because we weren't used to doing it that way. And now we're used to it. But at the start, I think that was the most difficult thing, was really, you know, expecting your teams to be out there on the field doing what they're supposed to do every day. But you were afar, and mm-hmm. you weren't able to be right there with them, but still reassuring them that at the end of the day, you were with them. I think that was the most difficult thing on my side, for being so actively involved on site with my teams, that was just a different feeling that I was not used to.
Yeah.
So I think that was a struggle.
Speaking of struggles, what do you think that your team struggled with the most? You guys obviously they look to you for leadership, but not being able to be there all the time. What do you think they struggled with the most in the early days of this pandemic?
I personally think that they struggled with just which direction that everybody was going in. Most people, some millennials, some, you know, our generation, have never been through a pandemic. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to expect. And, you know, as our residents and our employees are reading everything and anything as panic, you know, is stricken, they're trying to figure out what to tell the residents. They're trying, you know, what to tell their families. Some entities shut down, some didn't. And it was just a lot of mixed emotions in the fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I've noticed, what I noticed.
Yeah. And what do you think that your residents struggled the most with?
You know, the thing that they struggled the most with, honestly, was, I believe, job loss and, mm-hmm. and just fear. You know, how are we going to pay our rent? What are the landlords going to do? What are my legal rights? You know, that was a tough situation, I think, because, you know, we want to do the right thing by our residents, but we also have a mortgage to pay too.
Sure.
So trying to get clarity as things changed constantly. I mean, constantly. CDC regulations changed, you know, eviction deals changed. I mean, everything changed and nobody really knew. And we were looking for entities to help people pay their rent as well. Different institutions, which programs do we sign up for? Which programs are beneficial, you know, as an organization along with as for the residents. So that was difficult, trying to figure all those pieces and put them together.
Yeah. Now, you know, obviously your company has a large corporate or a large portfolio footprint that's not just in where we're taping the show in Houston, Texas, but also, you know, based out of Florida. What type of guidance were they trying to give to you guys as far as, because they were in the same boat as everybody, just like any other corporate officer would be. You know, you get a CDC guideline, and then 2 days later it changes to something else. You know, I'm just curious, how involved were they in trying to provide the information that you guys needed to be able to move forward?
Well, I was with American Landmark when all this started, and mm-hmm. I will tell you, they were very forthcoming. They were proactive in all the information, from senior leadership to communication to the residents to the employees to the on-site teams. They, you know, our CEO, she's on the board of directors for TAA, and so she has a lot of insight to other, you know, other people, companies, mm-hmm. what those companies were doing, what should we do, were we in line with other companies. So that was very helpful for us. You know, they constant communication. We did a lot of regional calls, district calls, and with, you know, our corporate office in Tampa to guide us in the right direction as they were learning for the first time what to do and how to do it as well.
Right, right. And as far as on the properties, and even at your previous position, Cody, before you came to American Landmark, when all this started, what kind of touching stories with residents and your teams can you pass on as far as being able to help or whatever? I know there's a lot of them out there.
I think everybody kind of came together there at the beginning. It was definitely an unknown situation. It was something nobody had gone through before, and everybody was just trying to figure it out. I mean, as far as the residents go on site, you know, having to be there every day, they were having to be locked up into their apartments, not being able to get out. A lot of at first, you know, didn't quite understand why we didn't have certain amenities open, things like that. Because again, you know, you understood one aspect, but you didn't understand another one. So I think just in general, the understanding and the communication was obviously key. And the residents really did kind of come together with staff members and understand, you know, why we were doing some of the things that we were doing, and help each other out. So I think that there was a lot of appreciation, thank you notes, things like that, great emails sent, especially to our maintenance teams, really, you know, appreciating what they do every day and how they're having to be out there on the front lines, I think, more than anybody. So there was just a lot of, you know, more positive at the beginning, reviews, things like that, working together. and understanding, you know, that we were all going through this at the same time, and we were just all trying to figure it out.
Right. And Janice, we've got about a minute left. In regards to leasing, what did you notice in the beginning? Was it still traffic coming in, or was it a stall for a period of time?
You know, I think our traffic stalled for a little while, but it did pick up, especially in July and August during our peak season, which is, you know, kind of odd because that's normally our peak season. And even with COVID, it picked up. As I said earlier, we never shut our doors. We did offer virtual tours. We, you know, we had online videos that were done of every single floor plan so that residents or prospects could actually, you know, see what the floor plans looked like. We made sure that we toured the amenities as well, just so that people would have an option if they did not feel comfortable. We had signage on our doors. We had signage on our amenity areas. We did temperature checks just to ensure the safety of not only our teams, but, you know, any prospect of residents coming through the doors. Our maintenance guys, when they went in to do service requests, we made sure that we asked specific questions on our work orders to ensure that they were safe as well. They did wear masks at every, you know, entry point. And in the event somebody, what I found was really impressive was that residents would let us know, I have a service request, but it's not safe for you to come in. And we would keep track of that. I really appreciated the fact, their honesty and integrity towards our service team.
That's great. That's great. Well, we're going to leave it here for this segment. We're going to be back right after these messages with some more of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because Multifamily Matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. Today we're discussing the topic of operating multifamily assets during a global pandemic, a look to 2021. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Cody Stepanski and Janice Quigley, who are both regional managers with American Landmark. Before we jump back into the topic, I do want to let our listeners know if you'd like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. I'm going to start with you on this, Cody. The uncertainty of everything that was going on at that time in the beginning of this pandemic really caused a lot of mixed messages. Nobody really knew what to expect, what was happening. I can just, on a personal level, I went to go see my doctor. I had a cold, and this was, I think I had just heard on television that there was a virus overseas that was causing problems overseas. There was no evidence that anybody had been infected in the United States. And I went to my doctor, and my doctor asked, I said, do you think I've got that virus? And they said, well, have you been to China? And I said, no. And they said, you don't have it. But you know, weeks later, you know, it was here. So nobody knew what to expect. What were some of the issues that you had on your jobs, your properties, with mixed messages that you found?
Well, I think that was just it. It was something new. So it was definitely going to be a learning experience. And with that, there's always going to be changes. And there was definitely changes. I mean, there was some funny memes that you would see on, you know, Facebook, things like that, where you had to laugh because at least you knew you weren't alone in that, and how you were feeling, because you did feel crazy. Because it was literally, you know, one day you'd get the communication, okay, we're going to do this, whatever it had may be. And literally, if it wasn't the same day, hours later, it was the next day of, okay, no, let's do this. Mm-hmm. And you just had to be okay with that. And you just had to keep your teams okay with that and find laughter in it. And, you know, when you go to these, you know, on Facebook, things like that, where they have the multifamily sites, you were able to at least join in with others and laugh about it and keep some sanity to it, because it definitely was ever changing. And it still is to this day. I mean, here we are, you know, almost a year into it in a couple of months. And, you know, it's just something that I think is going to be the way it'll be forever is constantly learning how to do things differently, because it definitely taught us that we have to be okay with change, and we have to know that at any given time, we're going to have to make different decisions and do different things that we're not necessarily used to.
Yeah.
So.
And Janice, you know, those mixed messages, even though they're out of the control of someone, you know, in your position, you know, it can be frustrating for your on-site teams and your residents as well. As guidelines change, as rules change, how did you find was the most effective way to deal with it? I know one person I spoke with said, we're just transparent. We just said, hey, this is, you know, everybody, this is new to everybody. Nobody knows what to do. Expect that there's going to be changes, and we'll try and, you know, keep them to a minimum. But whatever they're telling us we need to do, we need to do it. You know, what did you find?
Well, and I think due to the leadership at American Landmark and their integrity behind the scenes of doing their due diligence with what we needed to make sure that our teams and ourselves understood, it's all about being honest. You know, we don't have all the answers. We're not going to have all the answers. This is the first time we've ever been through anything. So I think it's just being honest and taking the time to listen to what your team's questions are, listen to what your residents' questions are, listen to what your vendors' questions may be, because they were also, they're trying to do a job. Nobody really knew what to do. So I think, again, it comes from senior leadership and making sure that we had the intel that we needed to be able to pass down the message. If you don't pass down the message to your team, or, you know, that's where I feel like that's where the miscommunication would probably come into play. We were very fortunate to have great information. And again, they provide us with all the PPE things to ensure that our residents knew that we cared about them, our prospects, vendors, and our employees. Hands down, we mastered that.
Yeah. And you know, it doesn't help things when it's sometimes hard to get those PPE materials in the early days when everybody was saying that. As a matter of fact, I had a guest on who was telling me that they were putting out hand sanitizer and wipes and things like that, different parts of the common areas, and they'd put them out, and within a couple hours, they'd be gone. And, you know, people were taking them home because they couldn't get them themselves. So that's obviously a challenge. But, you know, when we think about the fact that what makes apartment properties tick is leasing and renting and getting the rent paid. That was a challenge early on in this, and it's changed. There's been a lot of things that have changed as far as you know, the eviction moratoriums and so forth from what was in place before. Let's talk a little bit about that. What happened initially when this first started happening? I know you said that people were just concerned about getting their rent paid, the residents. But then when it came time, because if they lost jobs, you know, how did that all come into play? I'll throw it to you, Janice.
So we, you know, that came into play. We did a lot of different things. We gave residents a lot of different options when First of all, let me back up to April. We did not charge late fees for several months, probably April, May, April through August, we did not charge late fees. So we, you know, wanted to gain credibility with our residents, even though the pandemic we didn't create. Mm-hmm. So we offered that. Then as people unfortunately became, you know, 2 to 3 months behind in rent, we tried a couple different strategies. We tried to offer, you know, cash for keys. We'll give you cash. Just give us our keys. We need our apartment back. You know, our goal was to turn the units and to, you know, try to get people in there that could actually pay. We didn't have a lot of takers on that program. Unfortunately, people really didn't have anywhere to go, which is actually the saddest portion of it. Mm-hmm. It's people did not want to pay their rent most of the time. They just didn't have the resources to do so. If you think about it, a lot of the local businesses closed down. There were very few, you know, retail, the malls, movie theaters, any type of job, whether it was blue collar, people were not able to get them. Then we also offered a lease forgiveness program that, you know, same option without cash. If you vacate, we will forgive any debt that you owe us. And once again, we didn't have a lot of takers because people didn't have anywhere really to go. Mm. It was defeating, you know, because a lot of our residents have been long-term residents on a lot of our, you know, on a lot of our properties. And, you know, they kind of look at you like, I've been here all this time and I've paid rent on time all this time, and what can you do for me? And while they appreciated the fact that we waive late fees and stuff like that, it still wasn't enough to get them where they needed to be. So I can tell you, as a regional manager and the on-site teams, that definitely had a big impact. But we also have an obligation to our owners to make sure that rent is collected so that we can pay the mortgage. Because mm-hmm. if we don't pay the mortgage, nobody's going to live there.
Sure.
So that yeah. was very telling for us. I know that evictions, the moratorium, it impacts people differently on different communities. If there's a loan forbearance, you had restrictions. If you were involved in certain programs, you had restrictions. If there were CDCs, you had restrictions. I can tell you that we've started filing evictions, and all evictions going forward, at least in Clay Road Courthouse, they're all going to be via Zoom. That's going to be interesting to see how that's going to yeah. work, because, you know, if you have, you know, 20, 30 cases, you still have to, the directions are very clear. You have to be ready. You have to be in a quiet room. You have to dress appropriately, no food or drink. It's literally like you're in a courtroom, but it's virtual.
Right.
So that should be interesting for our on-site teams to figure out how to manage that process.
Yeah. And Cody, what have you found as far as rent collection evictions?
Well, pretty much how Janice said, I mean, there was definitely all kinds of different areas that we had to learn. You know, no more 3-day notices. You had to do the 30-day notices and making sure your team was, you know, obviously doing that correctly. But I think the biggest challenge, I mean, we did everything we could and followed the way we were supposed to do things. But I think the biggest challenge is when the CDC declaration page came out. And, you know, I think the challenge with that is once the residents understood that they could get this form, that was really where it stayed. Mm-hmm. They don't really have to prove that those things on that letter they're actually qualifying for. And that became a big, you know, struggle on the site of, okay, well, they came in and brought us this form. Now what do we do? Are we able to ask them to prove it? Do we not? Do we contact an attorney? I think that's where the biggest question and struggle really came in, was when that form got introduced on top of everything else we were going through on the eviction side and rent collection. When that happened, I think was the biggest struggles for our team. And I think it's just because it's a very gray area still. Mm-hmm. And there really hasn't been a whole lot of explanation as to what exactly we're supposed to do with that. So, you know, we just go to our attorneys, we turn it over, and we kind of follow the steps that way. Because you definitely don't want to address a resident so much that, you know, you're calling them a liar, basically. You
sure.
don't want to do that. So, but you have to make sure that you're just not taking this form and going, okay, I can do nothing. We still have right. to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to.
No, that makes a lot of sense. We're coming up against a break. So we're going to break here, and we're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of operating multifamily assets during a global pandemic, a look to 2021. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today in the studio are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Cody Stepanski and Janice Quigley, who are both regional managers with American Landmark. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible, EconServe, providing water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S., PM Workforce, the leasing management company, consistently excellent. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties, and CTS, complete technology solutions making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So we were talking during the break. We didn't get to, in this last segment, the previous segment, to talk a little bit about amenities. But I think that's important because one of the things that that happened when this all started was really kind of prior to pools opening up. And then there's a lot of questions out there. How do I open my pools? What about the furniture, the pool furniture? And how many people can we allow in the pool at the same time and so forth? And that was a learning curve. And then the other amenities, the workout rooms and the gyms inside the units and so forth, inside the offices and the clubhouses. Tell us a little bit about that. Janice, you want to talk about amenities and how that all transpired when this all first started?
Sure. I think, one of the main things that we tried to do was look at the unit size of each community and what capacity made sense for the majority of our amenity areas. A lot of it, too, depends if you're a garden-style community, if you're a mid-rise or a high-rise, you have, some communities have elevators, some communities don't. It depends on your staffing situation as well, if you have the manpower to wipe down, an elevator button every time somebody pushes it. So we had to be very diligent with our on-site teams and to ensure that everybody partook in the resolution to make sure that everybody was, handling things the best way. We used gloves. Most of our clubhouse areas sometimes we actually had to lock the doors and let people in depending on the capacity of people, because remember, we never shut down. You know, most of our communities were still offering full-fledged tours along with virtual leasing. So I know, especially during the first week of the month when people are trying to pay rent, the ones that could pay rent, we had a line out the door in some of our communities. So we had to limit the exposure in the office that way. So that was pretty much my experience, Cody.
Yeah, for me, I think that was probably one of, outside of figuring out how to continue to lease, I think the amenities was actually probably the biggest struggle for the on-site teams and for the corporate to figure out how to keep things open, but following, what our governor was saying and things at the same time, because all the fitness centers were shut down. Mm-hmm. Your pools had to have, only so many people that were allowed. And if you had the pool furniture out there, you had to clean it every time somebody left. So the question was, do I keep it out there or do I remove it? And then the residents are responsible for bringing their own stuff while they're at the pool area. And who is going to be responsible for watching to make sure everybody's following the rules? And when you have properties that just have three team members on the inside, that was kind of an impossible task of how they were going to monitor this pool area and make sure that everybody was doing what they're supposed to and cleaning. And then you had the logs that you had to keep up with, the show that how often you were cleaning and what areas you were cleaning. So I think that was a huge ordeal at the time to figure out, because it was no longer just about being there for your residents to lease, renew, collect, things like that. It became a much bigger picture that obviously our team members had never gone through before. So I think that for me, the amenity part was actually probably one of the biggest areas that we had to work through. And that to me is where we had a lot of changes.
Yeah.
Where it was one day one thing and another day another, because we were just trying to figure it out. And you had residents who were literally at home now, so they needed something to do.
Right.
And they wanted that fitness center open, and they wanted that pool area, and wanted the business center. So, you know, you had to do what you needed to for their safety, and also do what we were being told to legally, and trying to keep everybody happy at the same time. And that was a very difficult thing to do.
Well, you know, one of the major I guess components that makes multifamily successful are the relationships that folks like you and your on-site teams have with supplier partners, and being able to provide services, whether it's painting a unit or replacing carpet or whatever it might be. What's changed about working with supplier partners since the pandemic? You want to take that, Janice?
Sure. I think our supplier vendors have been incredible through this pandemic. I think that, you know, if you've been a global, you know, long-term vet like Cody and myself, you know, in the Houston market for quite some time, you know, they did look out for us. We would get a lot of emails behind the scenes like, you know, hey, you know, discounted price, order now. A lot of our great vendors did that. I got several emails to help, and then we would pass the message up along to our corporate. Our regional maintenance supervisor, he also had a lot of great connections to make sure. Joe Lubeck, our, you know, CEO. Mm-hmm. So that helped. I mean, the names and, you know, your relationship with the vendors, your payment history with the vendors, they are going to go to the people that they can count on. Mm-hmm. And so we definitely appreciated that through the pandemic.
Yeah. Cody, I mean, as far as procedures and how they, I mean, there was a point in time, I think, where supplier partners were told, don't come to the property, you know, but with all this. And then once that's, you know, you obviously need to have people taking care of things for you. How was that as far as a change?
Well, I think that they did a great job on communication, too. Mm-hmm. And there was a time, you know, when it first happened that we were only doing emergency work orders. Mm-hmm. So if it was just a regular work order, we were not doing that. And the residents knew it, understood it, and you had to work around it. And the same with the vendors. You know, there was that time, like you said, that they could not come in and maybe do the carpet replacement, you know, things like that. Or plumbers weren't coming in if we had an issue for their own safety. So, but they communicated very well with us, and it really didn't last very long for them. And it changed and went back to where they were able to do just like they were, but, you know, their precautions that they had to do. But just like Jana said, I mean, I think this is where partnership really does come a long way, and why I've always been an advocate about, you know, having that partnership with your vendors, because when times happen that you really need them, they're there. Just like when we have hurricanes and things like that. I mean, you're always the first on the list because of that partnership that you have developed with them. So I think they all did a remarkable job, and they really have been there through all of this to help us figure things out. And when there were things that our maintenance guys could not enter for whatever reason or didn't feel comfortable doing, they were right there to make sure that they helped us take care of our residents. So I think overall, in the relationships that I have and the people that I dealt with during this, I couldn't say anything but great, yeah, you know, feedback on it.
That's good to hear. We got about 3 minutes left in this segment, but I want to talk a little bit about turnover and hiring, and how was that affected? How did the pandemic, when it began, affect that? I've heard from some people that when it started, you know, there was not a lot of movement, not a lot of turnover, because people were unsure if they would be able to get a job somewhere else, or people were not hiring. But then last time I spoke with someone about this, they said, oh, it's kind of gotten back to normal where there's people moving around from job to job. What did you find in that? Janice, you want to start?
I think you hit the nail on the head that a lot of people were very nervous, and they saw, you know, from being on site, when you notice that your residents are losing their jobs, I think that they understood how American Landmark took care of them as employees of the company. Again, I told our hours were reduced from 10 to 4, mm-hmm. But the employees appreciated that. I did not have any turnover during that time. I was very fortunate. I had a couple maintenance. But as far as the office people, the leasing people, some of the members there are long-term vets. So I was fortunate that way. We still continue to be proactive and did Zoom interviews and things like that in case people either got sick or they had to move or mm-hmm. they just, you know, had to take care of a family member. So I did several Zoom interviews that way. But again, I was fortunate to not have any team members fall off due to the pandemic.
Cody, any?
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much agree with that. It was a very slow time. You didn't see it. People were happy to have a job, and they weren't going to do anything to change that. Mm-hmm. So, but I do think about September, October, we started to see a little bit more of, you know, people getting out there looking again, wanting to make that change. So I think it picked up a little bit around that time, and we were able to make changes that we needed to make. So I see it normalizing at this point.
Okay. Well, we're going to be back after this message. We're going to break it here because I want to talk a little bit about technology and how that made a difference in our final segment, as well as what is the outlook for 2021 with multifamily. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistent. Excellent.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of operating multifamily assets during a global pandemic, a look to 2021. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Cody Stepanski and Janice Quigley, who are both regional managers with American Landmark. And I want to let our supplier partner listeners know that if you are interested in some very special sponsorship opportunities, we have a couple that have become available. Please reach out to us through our website at multifamilyradio.com. Before we went to the break, ladies, I mentioned that we were going to talk a little bit about technology and how that's made a difference during the pandemic. I can tell you that I've spoken with many, many people who have said that technology kind of saved the bacon during this pandemic, not just Zoom meetings, but, you know, virtual leasing and so forth. And I can say that when I would go to, for instance, one of the national conferences, and I would see, this was, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years, and I would see these supplier partners that had booths, and they were talking about virtual leasing technology and stuff. I would talk to people after they would leave the booth. So, you know, people in the industry, I'd say, what did you think about that? And they would say, oh, I think it's really interesting, but I think it's a long way off in the future. Well, we had a global pandemic, and all of a sudden, this went from the back burner to the front burner. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your experience with the technology and how it changed the way you operated during this pandemic. And Cody, I'll start with you.
So I'd like to first start off by saying that thank goodness for technology, honestly. And, you know, you have a lot of seasoned employees that, you know, all had a different opinion of technology before, and they were just kind of thrown into it and had no choice when this happened. But thank goodness we had it, because if we didn't, I don't know, you know, what and how we would have worked this out. But it definitely made a difference in how we were able to do our job, and very supportive on how we did our job. If we did not have the leasing, the virtual leasing, you know, what would we have done? We mm-hmm. would not have been leasing, and therefore that affects the business as a whole. So, you know, having all of the different areas in our marketing departments, that was a huge thing too, because thankfully they were already educating themselves before this happened on certain things that we can do, because that's what they're supposed to do on the marketing side. And when you have that support system, it definitely makes a difference. So we weren't too far behind on how we just needed to put it all together and make things happen. And I think it also brought out a lot of creativity from the team side, because they kind of got into it too, shooting their videos and coming up with different ways that they could use it. The self-guided tours that some companies were doing, where, you know, they were allowing them to go in, but still talking to them as if they were standing right beside them and guiding them through that vacant unit. So there was a lot of different ways that they were able to come up with different things to help us continue to do our business and still kind of keep that personal touch as much as we could with our prospects and our residents. So I think that if we did not have the technology that we had, we would have been in trouble. And I think that it's only going to build, honestly, mm-hmm. from this point on, and we're going to continue to utilize it more than we probably ever did before.
And Janice, I'd love to get your thoughts on that, but also added to that, what other types of technology have come to the forefront that you've seen, other than, you know, virtual leasing and calling on Zoom? I know there are some companies that use for their maintenance work orders, you know, have really kind of gone to that, where a resident can fill it out. A lot of that was happening before, but they seem to have embraced it more. What have you found?
So we, you know, we utilize a dynamic, it's called Rent Dynamics, for our mm-hmm. marketing software, for our leads and things like that. Thank goodness for that, because we were able to effectively communicate with our residents and prospective residents, along with most people have a social media platform. So we were able to get, like ours is Active Building, and we were able to get messages out to the residents, you know, things that were important to them. We also have cellular phones for our service requests that our maintenance guys literally can look on their phones, and that really helped them from coming in and out of the office constantly. Remember, we were only doing emergency work orders, mm-hmm. but, you know, there's a million things that any service tech can do on a property, from, you know, cleaning up the grounds. Again, we had additional duties with cleaning. So the fact that we did have the mobile phones to help them with service requests, they didn't have to come in every 5 minutes to see what was in the pipeline. They could see it, and they could take care of it, put it on hold, or whatever they needed to do. I think the biggest challenge, as Cody mentioned, you know, behind the scenes, that some of our managers have been around a long, long time, and our team members, and technology for some people is scary. You know, I mean, it actually brought me out of the box. We didn't do a lot of Zoom meetings mm-hmm. and team meetings and stuff like that. And I think it's amazing. I think it also saved companies a lot of money during a financial crisis, where people weren't having to travel, and, you know, it really made people think outside of the box. And I think that's what contributed to our overall, you know, success through the pandemic so far, and most probably everybody else's.
Yeah. And I've told our listeners this before, that I'm really old, and technology is always something that is scary for me, because, you know, I've got kids, and I see kids that can, you know, just run circles around my knowledge when it comes to this type of stuff. But let's talk a little bit about, we've talked a lot about in the first three segments about the past and, you know, where it all started. Let's talk for the next 4 or 5 minutes before we transition into another topic. Where are we going to go in 2021, and what lessons have we learned? What are your feelings about that? I mean, one day, hopefully, there will be no more pandemic, and, you know, are people going to retreat back to the way things were being done, or what have we learned about this? How can we be better prepared?
I think one of the lessons I've taken away is no matter what's thrown at you, there's always a solution. Mm-hmm. And you do have to have a team to figure that out. And I think that that's something that I've definitely will always take away from this is, you know, teamwork really does matter. And when everybody comes together and everyone's scared and everyone feels a certain way and, you know, there's the unknown out there, that when you work together, you can figure anything out and you can still be successful. It might be different, but you can still do it. I think that's a huge thing that I'll take away from it is that you can always figure something out. And I guess the last thing, which is kind of funny for me, is I'm still trying to figure out what the toilet paper has to do with anything. So if somebody can give me that answer, I would really greatly appreciate it. But apparently you need to stay stocked on toilet paper.
Janice, realizing no one has a crystal ball, where do you see us going in 2021 with as hopefully the vaccines come into play and we're starting to get a little bit more flexibility in things we can do? Where do you see multifamily going?
Well, I mean, I just hope that, you know, obviously everybody wants the pandemic to go away so that we can go back to some sort of normalcy. At Trends, I hope that the evictions, that people are able to get jobs again. People are able to, you know, put some of this behind them. We don't know. I mean, honestly, it's a crystal ball question. I don't know. I don't know if concessions, you know, are spearheaded still. I just hope that the overall, you know, that we as a organization along with our residents can help each other. You know, I mean, we're not the devil. We're not trying to kick people out. We're, you know, we have a job to do as well. And I think that the things that we've done behind the scenes and the programs have helped everybody. I just wish the pandemic would go away very soon so everybody can, again, go back to some sort of normalcy.
Yeah, that's the you and me alike. Let's transition, because we could talk about this topic for another hour, but let's transition, and I like to find out always a little bit about our guests. Tell us a little bit about each of you, how you got into the business and what your journey has been. And then I want to talk a little bit about your company. So, Cody, you want to start?
So I started in the business 27 years ago, around 1994. Absolutely knew nothing about multifamily. And I saw a leasing agent ad placed in the newspaper and thought it sounded interesting. So that's how it started for me. And here I am 27 years later, still doing it. You have to love it. You mm-hmm. do. And if it's meant for you, it's in your blood. And once you get in it, you're never going to get out of it. But I'm glad that I found it those years back. And I've got to work some really great companies and meet a lot of great people along the way. But I'm very thankful that back in July, I did find American Landmark and have really enjoyed the time that I've been here already. And I will say they're a very structured company, which for me was perfect. And the communication with this company has been amazing. So coming into it in July and already, you know, seeing what they had done, I knew that they did everything really the right way mm-hmm. when this all happened. And while I wasn't here with them in March when it began, coming in July, it was very easy transition to understand what their policies were because of the way that they had communicated. So, you know, I'm very happy that I get to work with some amazing people. And, just excited.
Janice, tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Well, I got 3 years on Cody because I started in 91 and I graduated with my bachelor's degree and finished my military commitment. And so I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and I was looking for an apartment and I found an apartment, and the lady who leased the apartment to me was just amazing. And I asked her about a job. I didn't have a job, you know, I just graduated, but so anyway, I ended up working for her. Still communicate with her to this day. As Cody said, I've had the pleasure of working with many, many great companies. It's funny, when I started, some of the technology systems were little buddy DOS-based systems. I mean, it was, you know, how far in 30 years how things have changed has been incredible. I think it's only allowed us to, you know, be more successful and to continue to work with great companies and organizations. As Cody said, American Landmark has been, you know, incredible. I started with them in November last year. 3 days after I started, unfortunately, my husband had a quadruple bypass, but he's doing well. So that was a challenge in itself. And as Cody said, they are a very structured company, very fast paced. You know, you go with the flow, but it's for a reason. And their communication style is very upfront and honest. And that's the piece that matters for me. I mean, we can all work a job all day, every day, but you have to be, you know, honest with your associates and set the expectations and lead the team. And I feel that we've been fortunate to have that at American Landmark.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about American Landmark. Based in Tampa, Florida, footprint as far as a portfolio across the country and in many different markets. What do our listeners need to know about the company?
Well, there's 17 properties that are here in Houston, and we're always looking for great talent. Mm-hmm. So definitely want to get out there and look up American Landmark and see what properties are here. And they're definitely planning on growing in 2021. So the first quarter is looking pretty bright for us, and mm-hmm. we're excited about that. So this would be a great time, actually, to come and be a part of the team.
Yep, I think that they're also transitioning into some other technological ventures like bot systems and things like that mm-hmm. we're gonna test. I know that, as Cody said, the growth is there. You know, they have the capital and the money to. They're just not gonna buy anything though. It's got to be the right deal at the right time, the right price. It's kind of like if you win the lottery, you're not just gonna go spend it. If you're gonna go to Hawaii, you can't, and there's nothing you can do. Why go? So I think they're really smart in their investment strategies. But we are definitely looking forward to the future growth of American Landmark and collaborating with new talent.
That's great. Well, we got about 15 seconds left. If someone wanted to get in touch with either of you, how can they do that, Cody?
So my email is cstepansky@alapts.com.
And my email is jquigley@alapts.com.
Well, thank you very much, ladies. I'd love to get you back on the show again soon. It's been fascinating to hear what was happening on the front lines with this global pandemic. But we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.